Hello, everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and...
Raylene, hello.
I have a confession to make, Raylene.
What?
Whenever I do the introduction to the podcast, people should know, like, I think for the first few episodes, we didn't have an introduction, and I was like, Raylene, we need to have, like, a line that we say at the beginning of every episode, and I had written that line for some reason a long time ago, so I was like, this, I like this, this is cute, and Raylene was like, whatever, I don't care.
Do whatever you want.
But I actually do really like the line, but what I will say is that every time I'm saying it, because before, we used to read it. We had a little script for our episodes, sort of, just because, you know, we were a little more anxious. We didn't know exactly the way things were going, so we had a little script for the different sections. And now we don't have a script. I don't even know where that script, that's on a Google Doc, Google Drive folder somewhere, but
who knows?
Now I just say it from memory. It is a pretty short line, so it should be fine, but every single time I say, or we unbind books... Mm-hmm. I don't remember. There's a split second deep anxiety in my heart where I don't remember if it's unbind or unwind.
You should just say unwind and see if any of us
if anyone notices. Yeah. And it's like somehow every single time at the last second, I'm like, I'm going to go with the B. It's probably the B. And I do. And every single time it works out. But every single time there is that seed of doubt.
That's funny.
Everyone, Raylene has just come back from the big city. Her big city. Not Halifax, Vancouver.
Yeah, Halifax isn't the only big city around. Yeah, I was in Vancouver today and now I am absolutely pooped.
Yes, she had a giant bowl of ramen and that's more than enough for one night.
Yep, I'm ready to lie down and chillax now.
Does this mean that we're going to get a book haul from you today, m'lady?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah, I thought about that after I bought the books. I was like, oh, this is kind of perfect timing because normally we record on Sunday morning. So, like, this is a different situation. It's currently Sunday evening because I've been away this entire weekend.
That probably sounds like it's not a big deal to everyone, but, like,
but
for
really
Raylene and me are like, this is crazy, guys. We're recording Sunday
night. It was a real fiasco. Getting here. We didn't know what was gonna happen.
There's a lot of variables up in the air, but yeah, so it is pretty perfect timing. You bought books today that you're gonna tell us about.
I also bought one on yesterday. I guess it was yesterday. I was gonna say on Saturday, but that was yesterday. These days have all started to blend together. I had the craziest weekend. It all just
went by
in a blur.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and the crazy week's about to continue because, ladies and gentlemen, we are here to announce. This is episode 99. It's It's August 29th at 10:09. No, I'm just kidding. It's 10:08, but I really wanted it to be 10:09.
Give it a minute. Just
But in just a few days, Raylene will be flying from Vancouver to Halifax, where I will pick her up at the airport and take her to my home at an undisclosed location.
She's going to blindfold me so I don't know where she lives.
No one will find out. And we're going to hang out. And we have not seen each other physically.
It's been like a year and a month or two. It's been just over a year.
It's been over a year. Yeah, it's been a bit over a year. And so it's going to be so much fun. I was saying this to... Who was I saying this to? I forget, but I was... Oh, the guy who's serving me coffee. He was like, anything new and exciting going on? I was like, my best friend is coming to visit me and she is going to be the first guest that I ever have in my house.
So
I think that's really cute. We're really excited. We're going to spend a couple days in Halifax, hit up the sites. We're going to, then we're also going to go around my little town and stuff. So I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Episode 100 is going to be lit.
Yes.
And we're going to be together, so it's going to be extra fun, which is just so lucky. I'm not going over there because of episode 100.
No.
That's just a
good
side bonus.
Yes. Yeah. When we were kind of looking at the dates, we were like, wait a minute. If we just record 1 week later than usual, we could do episode 100 together in person. So We already mentioned, I think it was in the episode before last, because our last episode was the one with Noelle. If you haven't heard that one, you should.
CJ, that was a wild time.
CJ, who edits our podcast, he came into my room. He's like, Noelle's hilarious. I was like, she really is. It was a great episode. But the episode before that, we talked about how we have some stuff planned for episode 100. And now you know one of the secrets. One of the secrets that we have planned is that we're going to be together for that episode.
Yep.
But we've got some other very cute things coming. So we're looking forward to that. I also wanted to mention, before I forget, because believe me, I'll forget, because we want episode 100 to be this special episode that we're doing, and it's our big 100th episode celebration, we have had to delay the release of the book club, 100 Years of Solitude book club episode, until it will be episode 101.
Although, how funny would it have been for that to be episode 100?
Oh my God,
100 years of solitude.
It was supposed to be, and we are.
It was meant to be, but we didn't want it to be.
Exactly, we're intervening with the desired timeline. Who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, that's really funny. Wow, now I sort of feel like it should be, but no, it shouldn't be. Sorry, man.
No. Sorry, man.
You got to wait another year of your years of solitude. But yeah, so for everyone that's waiting for that, that's coming. It will be the episode right after that. But we realized if it came out beforehand, you guys had two choices, okay? It was either we didn't upload an episode for a week so that we could delay the schedule, or you get the book club episode late. And we believe we made the right choice.
I think so.
All right. Well, I'm trying to decide what should we talk. I'm really, you know what, Raylene?
What?
Not only did I, maybe I'm just anxious today. Actually, that totally maps out. I am anxious today, but I will say, I just want to talk about my anxieties so that I can have fun recording this episode. Before we get into, I'm really excited about your book haul. I've got some cool book news. We've got some fun stuff to talk about today. Before any of that, okay, I'm cutting the line. All right, I'm doing the skip the line system. Okay. you know how for a while the banks wanted you to use their app to check in? I'm checking in at the bank from the parking lot, okay? I'm here to say I didn't finish On a Sunbeam, and I didn't read Psalm for the Wild Built, and I didn't read Second Place. I'm free. There. Whoa. It's all out.
Let it off your chest.
God damn it.
Okay. I'm starting to feel like our system is broken and maybe it doesn't work. It's like, I don't want to say like now's the time to set us free because you haven't once completed the challenge.
September. Yeah.
We could if you really wanted to. If you're feeling too much pressure. Now, live on the air, we could stop this whole hardcover business if it's just too much for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because I was so anxious about my anxieties that I didn't even think about what I wanted. What does freedom look like for me?
Yeah.
I just knew I wanted to get out. I didn't know what I wanted to do once I left the prison's walls, you know? That's a good question. Maybe we can get to a conclusion by me telling you what's happened.
Okay, that's fair.
First of all, I feel like life has gotten really busy, right? Mm-hmm. And you and I had a series of reading homeworks that have kept having me busy. And so On a Sunbeam now feels like that homework to me, where I'm just like, it's another one. Like, I was supposed to read the book club book. I was supposed to read those other two books for the movie. We have another secret book for the 100th episode. Like, there's all of this stuff that I was supposed to read.
Yeah.
And now On a Sunbeam is on that list. It's
sad.
It's not on my fun list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've been sort of avoiding it. On the other hand, A Psalm for the Wild Built and Second Place, I haven't been avoiding. Oh. I just am not in the mood.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, totally. It's not like I'm stressed about them. I'm glad I bought them. I want to read them. I just am not ready for them yet. So I feel like so far this year, the hardcover challenge for me has actually been really good because I have bought so few hardcovers.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And it was only when I went on this big trip to Toronto where I bought a bunch of hardcovers and I kind of overwhelmed the system a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the Patricia Lockwood hardcover, that was the only other one I think I bought this year.
Yeah.
I did attempt to read. I just DNF'd it and that would have happened regardless. So I don't feel like the system's broken for me. I guess what I want is a pardon from from the Queen. Here I am, a lowly knight, asking for a pardon from the Queen for these two books because I bought too many hardcovers at once, along with a bunch of other books, at a busy time during a trip. It wasn't really like my usual book buying. It was the frenzied book buying of someone in Toronto.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if I'll feel like that when we're in Halifax. Perhaps I'll need a pardon as well.
So, yeah, what do you think? How has the challenge been working for you?
I mean, actually, pretty great because I just haven't bought any hardcovers recently.
Yeah.
I only bought one that I didn't finish. Or, like, that I didn't read in the month. And then you'd punish me, and I accepted the punishment.
And
it was fun.
So.
It was good. I don't want it to happen again, but...
No, exactly.
So that's why I actually... It's kind of funny. When I was at the bookstore in Vancouver that I went to today, I bought a number of books, and there were a few that I was like, ooh, I really want that one, but it's a hardcover, and I can wait. Like, I am perfectly okay with waiting for the paperback to come out. But if I, you know, if a book comes out that I am so, so excited about, and it's in hardcover, I have to get it. It's likely I'll read it right away anyhow, you know? Like, so it's kind of working out fine for me. I have... no reason to quit yet.
I also don't want to quit because I also feel like for the entire year, and it's been now 8 months, it has worked. Mm-hmm. I haven't been buying hardcovers. It was these two hardcovers that I just kind of bought on impulse.
Yeah.
And so maybe, what if maybe this is a compromise? Like if I read them by the end of the year instead of now.
Yeah. That's possible. Do you mean just for those two books or for any hardcovers you may buy?
No, I just mean for those two books.
Because they were in a frenzy.
Because I bought them in a frenzy. Also, I just feel like I bought them at the worst time because we were reading so many other things.
Exactly.
I literally, I'm like, you're coming. And then once you go, I have this like period of freedom again where I'm gonna like catch up on reading and stuff where it's just been
I feel like that too because like I just had this crazy weekend away and then I have like 2 or 3 days and then I'm coming to you so like I don't really have any time like downtime because I've got all these things I need to do before the trip
exactly.
and I go on the trip and then I come back and it's like all right now I'm free so
now I can breathe and read again
okay so do you want to be pardoned from reading on a sunbeam as well because it's become cursed?
Yes please.
Does that mean I get to pick a different book for you?
I think it could. I feel like that's fair. Or I could just try and finish On a Sunbeam before the end of the year. Like it could also get added to that list. But you pick. You're the queen in this. When you do something crazy, I'll be the queen.
Exactly. At the moment, I'm the queen. Okay, here's what I want to do.
Okay.
On a Sunbeam, read it whenever you want. Doesn't matter if it's by the end of the year. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
What I want to do is I want you to pick 5 books and then I will pick which one you're going to read next. And you have to read it next after whatever you're reading now is done.
Okay. So I am in the middle of Anne of Green Gables.
Mm-hmm.
So when I finish Anne of Green Gables, so should I pick my 5 books right now or I'll send you a photo and
send me a picture and then maybe by the end of the episode, I'll have picked something for you.
Ooh, okay.
I need some time to think about it.
Okay, I love it. Well, gosh, you know what? I'm free. I feel good. I feel content. And I feel like we should talk about what books you bought in Vancouver on your big trip, because I think that would be fun.
Yeah. So this is very fun, and you kind of know what a lot of these are, because part of episode 100 is that we bought some books for each other. I won't get more into it than that, but basically I have no idea what Ariel bought for me, so I was kind of like, I have to make sure I'm not buying something that she got for me.
Yeah.
So I've sent a bunch of pictures your way, and you told me if they were safe, and so then I bought them. But anyhow... So the first book I got you, you actually don't know exactly which one it is because I sent you 3 and said, pick me a book. And I didn't tell you which one I ended up buying. So the one that I ended up getting was the one that you picked, Sharks in the Time of Saviors by Kawhi Strong Washburn.
And it's this on one, paperback.
It's I know. That's why I got it.
I didn't know that.
It was paperback. It must have just come out because they had it on all these displays. It was beautiful. But yeah, so obviously this was 100% inspired by last week's episode. Noelle talked up this book and I just had to have it. It sounds so, so, so weird and good. And it's just so striking. And actually, Kyle was the one who saw it in the store. He was like, wow, look at that weird shark book. And I was like, wait, what? That's the book I want.
Yeah.
And so I picked that one up and it feels really good to have that. So that was my first one. Kyle bought that for me as an anniversary present. The rest were all on me. So yeah, today in Vancouver, I went to a store that I love called Massey Books. It's probably, actually, it's definitely my favorite bookstore in Vancouver. It's a new and used bookstore, and it's kind of like tiny, but they have so much stuff in there. And they even have like a little art gallery in, on the upper floor. And it's just such a great store. They always have these weird specific books that I'm looking for, but never, ever, ever see at any normal bookstore because like Chapters just doesn't usually stock these books. But for some reason, Massey Books is like the king and just has everything that I want. So the first book that I found and was very excited by was McGlue by Otessa Moshfegh.
Yes.
Never going to find that anywhere else.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is a book that I was planning on buying at some point, but then I stumbled upon my path and I had to get it. So now I have all of her books. So now I feel like the Otessa Moshfegh marathon can begin at any time. And I'm very excited about that. I feel like she is good. I mean, she's good for any season. I don't think it matters, but I'm really hoping to read her books this fall because they just seem right for that. So I got that guy. And then the next book I got is There's No Such Thing as an Easy Job by Kikuko Tsumura.
Yes!
So this is, it's kind of funny. I feel like half of the books are like copied from Ariel. It's just like these are books that you either bought recently or like happen to have and have talked up.
It's more fuel for buddy reads.
Exactly, actually, that's very true. I find that we don't have a lot of actual crossover of the books that we own. Like anytime we go to do a poll for a book club, we only have like one or two books that match that we would both want to read. And so now we've got a few, which is very exciting. Because yeah, you talked about this book recently and it's, like you said, it's kind of a mundane book that it really appeals to us. We're really into just people working at a job because they often end up being a little bit weirdly surreal and that's kind of cool. So I'm really excited to have that one. It's a lot thicker than I thought it would be.
Yes,
I was expecting it to be tiny.
I really agree with that. When I was at the store, I saw the cover of it. I picked it up and it was, I thought I was picking up two of it or something.
Yeah, he's chunky. I don't know why it's so big, but I'm really excited about that. Oh, and then the next one, this is very exciting. I got the beautiful cover, same one that you have, of Outline by Rachel Cusk.
Oh my God.
Gorgeous.
Okay. That is so interesting. Are we about to be, what, I feel like I could see a future where this podcast becomes a Rachel Cusk fan site.
Oh, absolutely. Once we start reading her, she could be another Otessa. I have a feeling that she could be. Because every single place I see, people are always talking about how smart she is. Like on the back of this book, somebody, Heidi Julovitz, said, Rachel Cusk is one of the smartest writers alive. And I've seen that said about people who are reviewing Second Place. Apparently, it's just like, she's just a genius. And I'm like, I need to get into that brain. Because I feel like Otessa Moshfegh is also a genius. I don't know. I love that. So I'm really happy to have this one. They had a few copies at the store and some of them were used copies, but they were much uglier than this one. So I bought the brand new one like an idiot, but I'm really excited to have that. Oh, I love that Ariel's so far away from the mic. I hope that we can hear you laughing from across the room. And then the last book I got, I almost didn't even see because it's so weirdly small. And that is Parade by Hiromi Kawakami, which this is just another one. I have bought so many books by this author, have not read a single one yet. It's like I just feel like I need to have every single one. But Parade is like this tiny little book with a just like a red face guy on the front. Like he's just this little guy and he looks so sad. And there's kind of like illustrations throughout and they're so odd. And the book is like, it's like 80 pages. It's less than 80 pages. Hey, this could be a great buddy read. This should be our next book club.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be, as we said, we will be doing a short book for the next book.
Absolutely. There's no way around that. We can't be tricked into doing a long classic again. It will not happen.
They won't get us this time, Raylene.
Yeah.
Is this new? I haven't heard of this one.
I don't think so. Let me see. I think it actually might be one of her earlier books, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, that makes sense.
I could be wrong, though. I could be totally making that up. Oh, there's actually a couple. She has a couple of books that I don't own yet. That's a problem. Well, this came out in 2002, apparently. So it's older.
That's interesting.
But yeah, I've looked it up online before, and I never realized that it was so tiny. Like, it's physically, like, just in stature. It's very small. So I almost didn't even see it because it was just, like, this weird little book. But I grabbed it, and I'm glad that I have it. I think that I need to start a Hiromi Kawakami marathon as well. I need to just marathon all these authors that I, for some reason, have, like, six books by.
I really want to congratulate you on the word stature. That was a perfect word in that perfect moment. You really nailed that. You got some cool books.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of those really appeal to me. I guess I have also bought... Wait, can you show me the stack again? I think I bought two of those on my Toronto trip.
Seriously?
Because I bought McClue and There's No Such Thing as an Easy Job. And didn't I buy Transit? Or no, I bought Second Place by Rachel Cusk.
Yeah, that's true.
So we both bought
You did get
Outline
fairly recently, right? Because you had the second book and then you bought... Yes. Outline, because it was the first
absolutely
one.
Yeah,
so this is basically an Ariel haul. I mean, and the other couple of books are ones that I could see you buying for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, sorry everyone, that's a yawn because it's 10:30 at night. I collected my little stack of books here. I feel like the people are here on the journey, so I'm just gonna tell you what they are with the people. Okay, up first we've got The Factory by Hiroko Oyamada. You remember I was reading The Hole previously?
Yeah.
Spoilers, I finished it this week. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Felicity by Mary Oliver. This is a poetry collection by her that I started. I got about halfway through and I never actually finished, so I've been meaning to finish that. People from My Neighborhood by Hiromi Kawakami.
Huh, that's funny.
I actually grabbed this one before you started talking about Parade, so that's funny. Anne of Avonlea, the second book in the Anne of Green Gables series.
You just made this really difficult. I don't know what to pick now.
And I'm about to make it even harder. The Union of Synchronized Swimmers.
What do I want to do? See, this is why I knew I would need time to think about
it. Yeah, by Christina Sandu. No, that's fine. I'll send you a photo of them. You can think
I've
while
got, like,
I talk about
there's
something.
Three in my head that I'm now waffling between. So
now the people know what you're thinking about here. Let me text this photo to you here, my pal.
Now I'm stressed.
I feel like that's a fun pile. All right, so those are the books you bought.
Yeah, did you buy anything?
I didn't buy anything.
That's incredible. Next week you will buy something because we'll be together. I'll force you.
Don't you worry. I actually recently made a haul. I meant an order from Chapters. I bought 6 books. Three of them have arrived. They were all for you.
And
I was like, what in the hell? Where are my books? And I looked at my order and it said I'd ordered 7 books. And I was like, what do you mean? I thought I got 3 for Raylene and 3 for me.
Yeah.
And I looked at the order and I accidentally ordered 2 copies of Lucy Maud Montgomery's journals from the years 1910 to like 1920. And I was like,
oops,
this is a deeply nerdy and unfortunate mistake. But they haven't shipped to me yet. And also, I'm just hoping that, like, I can take the second copy with the receipt or something, or with my
definitely.
Phone order to the Chapters and return it. We'll see about that. But I haven't actually received any books. As for finishing books, I have 2 books to talk about.
Ooh, I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah, well, you definitely know about one of
them. Oh, yeah, I know about one of them.
The other one, though, as I just teased, is The Hole by Hiroko Oyamada. So this is a book I started a while ago. I bought both of the books in Halifax when I was there a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this one and The Factory. And I just was like, I don't know where to start. I love this cover, so I'll just dive into this one. And I was really enjoying it. But then, like, all of our crazy, hectic kind of summer of reading started.
Yeah, everything fell behind.
And it ended up falling behind. And I was like, I kept meaning, like, I want to finish it. So today, I was using paint stripper chemical on the stairs. Uh-huh. And that's a whole fucking saga, I'll tell you. But it really disturbed me. There's something about paint stripper that scares me. I've never used it before. Yeah, it sounds, and I wasn't scared weird. Of it before I started using it. But then as I started applying it, it had this really horrible smell. Like this, mm-hmm. it just felt bad. It was like, you know, it was like a very instinctual thing where my body was like, don't trust this. This is really bad. Whoa. I was kind of like scared of it, but I was like, no, like literally millions of people use this. Like it's not it's not bad. Or I mean, it is really dangerous, but it's like not bad. It's fine. And I had like, I was right in front of my front door. So I had my front door open. There was lots of air. Like it should have been totally fine. But I was starting to feel like kind of nauseous. And I like, again, was it only the paint stripper or was it like the paint stripper fumes mixed with fear? Probably that. But like possible. I basically, you're supposed to apply the paint stripper. And then for the brand I had purchased, it said like, wait 15 minutes. Don't touch it. Don't do anything for 15 minutes and then scrape it off. So in those 15 minutes, I would go outside and just sit in the grass and try and breathe fresh air because I was panicking. It's so funny because it was really unlike me. I am very gung-ho about everything. I'm like, yeah, let's just work on this project. Let's do that. But there was something about paint stripper that I don't like. Anyway, so I'm sitting outside and I'd be like trying to breathe fresh air and calm down. And I was like, well, this is a perfect time to read because I'm going to keep having these 15-minute intervals where I'm sitting outside. And you know when you're sitting outside, it's so horrible to look at your screen. Like you can't look at a phone screen when you're sitting in the sun.
The screen looks so dark. It looks so dark. Anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, oh my God, I'm about to record the podcast with Raylene. I could finish the whole and she'll be impressed by me.
I am impressed.
So I finished it. I will also say, I got so scared of the paint stripper. Because I was trying to strip the paint, this horrible ugly maroon burgundy paint, off of my stairs. I was trying to strip it off of my stairs. I only did 3.5 stairs and I bailed on the project. I tried cleaning it like 3 times and I just felt like it wasn't fully clean, so I fucking painted over all of it again. I was like, no, I'm too scared. I want to like seal in whatever has been here, and I just painted it all. It's a lot of panic in my heart at that moment. Anyways, speaking of this book, it was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't perfect. Like, it definitely was not a 5 out of 5, if you know what I mean. I think it was about a 4.
Okay.
Right around there.
Very solid.
Very solid. Mainly, it's like, it feels like the beginning of a love affair. How can I say that? Like, it feels like me and Hiroko Oyamada are about to undergo a lifelong adventure together. Because I'm really intrigued by her writing. Hiroko is not that old. She's 38. So she's kind of like a younger writer, current writer. So I feel like this book did really well. The last book did really well. So she's going to keep publishing. You know, she's on the scene. And I'm here for the journey, Hiroko. This book, it felt like it was missing the third act.
Yeah, it's very short, right?
It is. It's 92 pages, which it was so good at building atmosphere. Like, it was so good at building atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The main character was so interesting. There was this incredible sense of, again, like we were talking about with the other book, but like mundaneness that becomes so much, it's like so mundane that it's creepy, where you're like a little nervous, a little scared. I really enjoyed the atmosphere. I enjoyed the characters and I was enjoying the story and stuff, but it kind of felt like it didn't get to where it was going a little bit. I was like, what exactly was the point? And I feel like that's kind of a tricky question to ask because, like, you can't really ask art what your point is. Like, what's the point of this statue? I don't know. Yeah. I made the statue, right? Like, you do with it what you will. But for me, that's just the feeling I was left with at the end. I was sort of like, what was the exact point of that book? And I didn't dislike it, but I don't exactly know what the point was.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm very excited to read The Factory. I think, like I said, I'm really excited to like invest in this author I hope that all of her books get published with the same covers, because I really love
very don't change simple,
that just the little font at the top with the title and the I author and then a like a kind of a striking photograph, and they're very slim and everything, and the spines all match. So anyway,
I do love that. I actually saw The Factory when I was at the bookstore today, and I was like, ooh, I want the whole. I want the whole, but they didn't have the whole.
Yeah, they're both really cool, and they go so well together. So they're also both green and white spines. Amazing. So they, man, it's good stuff. Anyways, I really like that. I'm glad I finished it. And the other book I read this week was a buddy read. That's right. Raylene and me did a buddy read of Tokyo Ueno Station. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We did it. We did the thing we said we'd do. We read this book we both bought.
It felt pretty good, actually. It was nice that we did that. I'm glad we did
that. It shouldn't be such a big deal to read a book that we bought, but...
When you buy 800 books every year, it's kind of hard to read them all, you know?
I saw someone on the Discord that was like... I thought she was going to buy 74 this year. I thought that was really high. She bought 92.
Oh, and it just got worse. I bought 5 more today.
You're right. We should have a running tally. So 92 plus 5, 97. And you're only 97. 3 books away from that pivotal 100 point.
Well, I can't wait to hit that next week. That'll be fun.
We can do it together. I actually forgot to count. I was supposed to count for this week.
Oh yeah, that's okay.
So I'll do that at some point. I'll definitely do it by the end, like at the end of the year. Well, that'll be a fun tally.
That will be very fun.
But anyways, Raylene, you should probably lead the discussion on this one because I just talked for a while.
It's true.
Tokyo Ueno Station. We broke it into 4 parts.
Yeah, we broke it into 4 parts because it's only 180 pages. So it made it a nice casual 45 pages a day.
Yeah, and it was really good.
Yeah, so we read on the first day, obviously, we read the first 45 pages, and we were like, okay, this book is...
That's exactly it. We were literally like that. We were like, all right.
Yeah, like, it doesn't really give you a lot. Basically, the beginning of the book, there's a narrator who, you know, it's told in first person, and he's this guy. And you don't really understand exactly what's going on with him, but it's soon revealed that he is dead, and he's observing people around Tokyo, Ueno Park, and the train station kind of area. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly, like, it's so hard to explain, because I'm like, there's got to be a reason people love this book, but it was just quite dull to both of us. We both kind of had similar feelings, I think, where the whole book was kind of him recounting bits from his life, which I enjoyed, but he's also recounting all these moments in history that, like, are tied to the park or what have you, and I just felt like that overshadowed the kind of personal nature of him talking about his life and his regrets. And because another part of the story is that he became homeless before he died. And so he had this life with his wife, and he has a couple of kids. And so it kind of leads you through, like, what happened to get him here. And I was a lot more interested in that aspect than all of the random history. And I think that you probably agree with that.
Yeah, I do. So, like you said, we started the first quarter and we were sort of like, okay, yeah, let's see where this goes. And then when we were like halfway through, we were like, nothing's happening. Yeah,
when is it?
And we're not understanding like why this won the National Book Award. And we don't say that in a rude way, just in a curious way. Like in a, okay, if something wins an award like as established and big as the National Book Award, you kind of expect to sort of read it and see why, even if you disagree or even if you don't like it, or even if you're sort of like, ugh, I get why they gave it to him, I would have given it to someone else or whatever. But we were like halfway through and we're sort of like, I guess something is gonna happen in the second half that really kind of shocks you, because so far this is quite mundane, I guess, to keep using that word. And then the third part we read and we were like, nothing's gonna happen,
Still nothing.
And then the book finished and we were like, I don't get it.
And the ending was, we both got mad at the ending.
I was really angry. I sent Raylene a photo of me just really grumpy.
And a photo of you giving the book a thumbs down physically with your physical self.
I wasn't going to tell the people about that one, really. But now
I loved that part. That was the best part. I loved that.
I was just, I was very frustrated. Like you were saying, I guess I used this analogy when we were talking, but like when you read Ready Player One, one of the bad parts about that book, which is a book I really like, I really like that book. But one of the things is like Ernest Cline is just bashing you over the head with 80s culture. And he's just like, I love the 80s and you will too, damn it. Like, you were gonna love it. And if you didn't before, well, now you know why the DeLorean is the DeLorean. And like, I love Back to the Future more than the next guy, but let me tell you, like, Ready Player One is too much, right? Mm-hmm. It started to feel that way with Tokyo Ueno Station, where it would just meander and go off and suddenly tell you about random Japanese history or history of this park or history of this one moment or history of this event or history. And you're just like, this is interesting. Like, history is interesting. Mm-hmm. This is interesting, but how is it connected? Yeah. Like, how is it relevant to this moment, to this character, to this story? It really felt like we just kept going on all of these tangents. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to go on the tangents if it feels like there's payoff, if it feels like, oh, yes, I understand. He's been a ghost for 200 years and he's seen all of these things. Yeah, but like, that wasn't it. It was just randomly doing these weird info drops. And I was like, I don't understand. And like, one of the things I think one of the massive problems with this book for me, just for me, is it felt like I was lied to by the marketing.
Oh, yeah.
So first of all, it's called Tokyo Ueno Station. The train station is irrelevant to the plot.
Yeah, it's not a thing.
It's relevant, I suppose, in the fact that, like, he uses the train a few times. Like, he arrives there and he leaves from there and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's set in the park in front of the station. Everything is about the park. It's about him living in the park. It's about him building, like, around the park. It's about the people he sees in the park. Yeah. He doesn't... It's not about the train station. I can't even... I know that's so dumb. But, like, it's not about the train station. And so the whole time you're reading it, you're expecting it to be about the train station because it's literally called train station. And then it's not, and then the whole time you're in the park. And so you keep thinking that the train station has more relevance than it does, and it kind of doesn't. Secondly, the packaging of the book is so bright and cheerful, and I'm not saying that, like, that means the book has to be cheerful. Right, right. But it just, like, I don't understand what this cover design has to do with the book we read.
Yeah, the book was really depressing. That's another thing we didn't
mention. It's very sad. It's very dark. It's very gloomy. I feel like it rains like 75% of the book. So I don't understand the cover art. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, this book is, I think, the first book I've ever read from the perspective of a homeless person. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read another book? I don't think I have.
I may have read a book when I was a kid, like an Eric Walters book or something, where it's about a kid who... like their mom begs on the side of the street or something. But I think that's the closest I've experienced to reading
so
that.
I actually was very interested in that because I was like, it's a massive problem in, you know, the year 2021. It's a massive thing that isn't talked about. Very interestingly, when I was in Japan, it was something I talked about with my friend because Tokyo is a shockingly clean city. Like, I mean, they have a culture of not littering, which is really cool. Yeah. Everyone, when you eat a package, for example, you just put it in your purse, like the package in your purse or in your pocket, and you throw it away at home. So they have a very clean culture of, like, non-littering. But, like, it just, you get the feeling that it's, like, perfectly pristine. Yeah. But I was talking with my friend who lives there, and he explained to me, he's like, yeah, it's a complete facade. They hide homeless people. They make them leave. They, like, don't treat them like humans because they don't want them here. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting because you don't see that. That's not, it's like the difference between what the presentation is and the behind the scenes. And this book talked about that. And it was, like, massively about homelessness. And I thought that was so interesting. But everything around the marketing, the cover, the title and the synopsis don't talk about the fact that it's about homelessness. Mm-hmm. And so you don't go into it thinking it's a book about homelessness. I just felt like, I don't know. It was like weirdly packaged. And then I don't know. So I'm like, I'm glad I read a book about homelessness, but I don't know if this was the book for me about it.
Yeah. Because also I feel like it was focusing so much on the random historical events instead of actually just giving us a cohesive story about this man and what he went through, which is what I wanted. Like I really enjoyed those parts, but they was so meandering off of that it just kind of wrecked it for me, unfortunately.
I agree. So it's too bad because we were both really hyped on it. Mm-hmm. But there you go.
Well, I actually read another book, so I could talk about that.
Wow. Let's do it.
Look at us reading two books each.
Holy shit.
So in the last couple of episodes, I mentioned that I was on page 8 of There, There by Tommy Orange. And guess what?
Oh, yes.
I finished it like a few days after we recorded those episodes.
Guess what? I'm on page 9.
No, I finished it within a few days after we recorded that. And my God, it was so good. It was such a good book. I'm so glad that I just randomly decided to read it. And I really want you to read it now because I think that you would really love it.
Oh.
And so, yeah, before when I started reading it, you asked about the formatting and I didn't really know because I had just started. But let me kind of give you the lowdown on this book. So I originally thought that it was like 10 or whatever short stories that would all be connected to each other, but it's not exactly like that. You do get like, you go through the 10 characters and then you go back and kind of see them again, so they all have multiple chapters. And it was actually quite interesting the way it was done. At the beginning, the introductory chapters are all quite long, so you get to know the characters fairly well. And then as it gets closer to the climax of the book, you kind of start flipping back and forth between them more because they're all at the powwow and something is like happening at the powwow. And so you get to see all these different perspectives on like what's going down. And it's high stress. The climax of this book is quite high stress, which I wasn't expecting, but it was done really well. And I really, really enjoyed the book. The characters were also interesting. There were a lot of younger characters, so it does almost read kind of like halfway between YA and adult fiction. I feel like it's very accessible for younger readers.
Interesting.
And it moved really quickly. Like, it was never boring. There was no filler. It was just like, go, go, go. And you got to see lots of different types of characters. It was cool. Like, there was a lot of characters who are like, say, trying to find a family member that they've never met. And so you get to see the perspective of like the mother. And then you also get to see the daughter who has never met her mother because she was adopted and all this stuff. And so there's lots of people who are like far away, but then they all come together at this event and either they meet or they don't, but they, you know, get to see their story fulfilled. And it's very, very interesting to read. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was just, oh, it was so good.
Wow,
I already want to read it again. I would give it probably like a 4.5. There was something for me that was just like slightly not quite there. But I think it's one of those books that if I reread it, it could easily become a favorite because it was just so readable. And I haven't read many books like it. So it was really surprising and refreshing and good.
That's so cool. I just looked up Tommy Orange. That was his debut.
I know. That's the other thing. I'm like, when is he going to come out with another book now? I really would like another one, please.
Yeah. What year did that come out? 2018. So it wasn't that long ago.
No.
Damn. That's so exciting. Well, I'm really glad that you read it. We had that one on some of our book club polls before.
Yeah.
So I know we've both been wanting to read it for a while. And
I just said, damn it. I'm not willing to wait for someone to finally pick it. So I'm going to read it now.
Okay. So we talked about book haul. We did currently reading. Did we? I'm currently reading Anne. We didn't. You do that, did we? Let's do it.
We're all scrambled tonight, and that's okay. That's just fine.
I'm sort of reading Anne of Green Gables.
How's it going?
It's perfect. It's a perfect book. That's all I can really say. Mm. Every time I get to read a bit of it, I feel content. I feel like life is good. Yeah. I feel like life is joyful. I'm a little scared because like the show, and with an E, is 3 seasons, and I think each season has like 8 episodes or something like that. And so you spend like, what is 8 times 3? 24. You spend like 24 hours of content with N when she's still like under 16.
She's quite young, yeah.
But this book, she starts when she's 11. I'm pretty sure she is going to end like when she's 16, 17 as well. And then the rest of the series is like her being an adult. So I'm sort of like,
yeah,
will I like that? Will I like that the rest of the series she isn't like the young Anne that I know and love? Mm-hmm. Or will that actually be really awesome because I can get so much more material that I don't currently think of? I don't think of Anne as a woman.
No, exactly. And I think getting to see how Anne transitions into being an adult could be really interesting because she is such a, like, a firecracker of a little girl.
Exactly.
It's like, will that translate to her as an adult, or will she change? And, like, why will she change? How will she change?
Exactly.
I think that could be really cool.
Exactly.
But I will say that is also the reason I never continued the series, because I was like, nah, I don't really care. I don't want to read about Teacher Anne. I just want to read about little kid Anne.
I literally looked up, I don't know if I should spoil. I won't spoil it. It's not a spoiler, but, like, obviously in the first book, Anne of Green Gables, her and Gilbert, that's like the love interest and everything.
Yeah.
And I care deeply about that relationship. And so I looked up, I was like, I'm not going to be able to take this if like they don't end up together, or like he marries someone else, or it gets bitter. Is there a divorce? I'm like, I'm not going to handle it. So I literally looked it up and I was like, ah, okay, I can keep reading. So I still have like, I want to say a quarter of the book left. And like I said, I just haven't been able to read a lot because I've been working on a lot of stuff over here at Ariel headquarters, but eventually I'll get to finish it. I also am not like, I'm not rushing my way, you know?
Yeah, because it's a pleasure.
It is a pleasure. It is quite a pleasure. But what are you currently reading?
Oh, I'm currently reading possibly the randomest book. And I mean, you helped me pick this, so you actually know all about it, but people will be like, what? I'm reading The Guest List by Lucy Foley.
Yes.
So, I mean, the story behind why I even have this book in my possession is because my mom read it a little while ago. My mom likes reading thrillers every now and then. And she was like, this was a pretty good book. And it's cool. It takes place in Ireland. You like that? And I was like, yeah. And so she lent it to me. And I've just had it sitting on my shelf for like 10 months or something. Like, I've just had it for a really, really long time. And I've been trying to find the right time to read it. And I decided I wanted to read something that would be pretty quick over this like past few days before I head out to Nova Scotia, because I want to just bring a fresh book or my e-reader or whatever with me on my trip. So I'm trying to, I wanted something that would be really quick. So I sent Ariel a picture of like 5 or 6 books and said, just pick me one. Pick me a book. I'll read it, whatever it is. And so she picked this one. And I'm about halfway through it, maybe a little bit more. I've been listening to it on audiobook and also reading the physical copy, so I'm actually not sure where I'm at.
Yeah.
But it's lots of fun. It's about a wedding, basically.
Ooh.
This woman is getting married, and it's kind of cool because the guy that she's marrying is like kind of like a survivor man on a TV show.
That's funny.
So he's famous. And so they're having a wedding on this like secluded island in Ireland that has basically just like a hotel where they get to stay, and then there's like nothing else. There's no people there anymore because they've all vacated the island because it's no good. And so these people are all in this secluded island, and there's a bunch of random people, like their friends and their family members, who have all now come, and there's just like spooky undertones. You know that something bad is going to happen, because the book starts out with a chapter that's like, this is now, this is the night of the wedding, and somebody is probably dead. Like somebody runs into the wedding and is like, there's a body, there's blood everywhere. And you're like, oh man, what's gonna happen? And so then it takes you back through the beginning, like the day before the wedding. You get to know everyone, and it's great. I'm like, it's just fun.
It's not
like a wonderful book by any means, but it's very Agatha Christie-esque. Ooh, which is kind of fun because there's so many people and you don't know who to trust, because you get into their heads a little bit, but you know they're hiding something, and like a lot of them are hiding something, and it could be something really sinister, or it could be something totally mundane and they're just like are acting weird for some reason. So it's just, it's really fun. It gives me And Then There Were None vibes for sure, because it's like all these people, a lot of them don't know each other, and they're stuck on an island.
Wow.
It's like, ooh, what's gonna happen?
That's great.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to finish it over the next couple of days. I'll be doing laundry and packing and things, so I'm sure I can listen to the audiobook while I do that.
That's perfect. That's exactly why I picked that one out of the list you sent me. I was like, she's gonna be busy over the next few days, so I feel like she can't read something hard, you know, something serious,
I need something
and
easy,
thick and tedious. So I was like, that is probably gonna be fun and a little bit like an action movie where you're just sort of like a little bit mindless, just able to enjoy the plot.
Yeah. And I'm so excited about whatever I'm going to read next, because I just want to tell the people what I did, because it's so chaotic and strange. I decided to start using my e-reader again.
Yeah.
Once again, because of Noelle. Noelle has just, like, changed my life in the past couple of weeks. And so I got out my e-reader, charged it up, and I was like, okay, I'm going to look at the Libby website or app or whatever and see what they've got. And so I spent like 2 hours just looking through Libby, getting like, and just adding things to my, ooh, I'll get that later, blah, blah, blah. And I downloaded 20 ebooks.
That's hilarious.
So they're all due in like 2 weeks. So like, I'm not going to read pretty much any of them, but I just want to have a selection for when I'm traveling. I could decide to read something else if I'm not enjoying one book. So I have tons and tons of books on there, and I'm just really excited.
I love
to have
that.
All that opportunity.
I love
so
that.
I have no idea what I'm going to read next, but I've got so many different things going on.
You have
on.
A lot of good options. You sent me a screenshot and there was like a lot of good options there.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I think we did it. We did currently reading, book haul, books we've read. So now it's time for book news. So book news this week comes to you in two parts. There's Books Unbound news, and then there's the actual world news. Okay.
Oh, world news.
So in Books Unbound news, something spooky happened, and it was just something that one of our listeners pointed out in the comment section of one of our Instagram posts.
Yeah.
And we had to bring this up because it was truly terrifying and truly hilarious.
Yeah.
Raylene is a witch. And do you have the name of the person? Yeah.
Okay. So this was Allie_4808 pointed this out on one of our Instagram posts.
Yeah. Can you read out the comment? It was the photo that I posted of my new first edition Animal Farm.
Yeah. So Allie says, I binged the podcast yesterday while cleaning my place, and I listened to an episode from a few weeks ago where Raylene jokingly mentioned having manifested or conjured a copy of Prozac Nation in a used bookstore after thinking of it earlier that day. Ariel said something along the lines of, maybe you can manifest a first edition copy of Animal Farm for me. And she says, it happened. And that's true. I didn't even think of that. I forgot that moment happened.
I forgot too.
And I'm so glad that Allie brought it up, because I'm not joking.
I know.
I'm not kidding about this stuff. I am kind of a witch.
Raylene actually somehow conjured up the book. So should I ask for a first edition 1984? Yes. I'm putting that on the table.
I can't do it. I can't.
Okay, fine.
You've maxed me out.
You know what I want?
The first edition Animal Farm was your last wish.
I want a first edition Anne of Green Gables now. Okay, that's what I want. Thank you.
You'll only get it if I manifest it, and I'm not.
Oh.
Right now, so sorry. Don't be greedy. I need something next.
I thought that was so much fun. So thank you to Allie for pointing that out. As for actual book news, I've got some fun things here. So this is an article from the CBC about a book that got returned to a library. That's the level of the news we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Somebody returned a book.
Insane.
But it was a book that had been missing for 27 years, and it randomly showed up in the deposit box, or whatever it's called. That can't be right. The return bin, it says.
The deposit box.
It's called The Perennial Philosophy by Aldous Huxley, the collected works of Aldous Huxley. And it says, like I said, a mystery more than 27 years in the making, recently dropped into a return bin of the Hamilton Public Library. And so I just, partly I wanted to say this because I thought it was really cute. It's neat. I think actually we talked about this like a year or two ago, that the Hamilton Public Library has removed late fines. Do you remember this?
Oh, I mean, yeah, most libraries are still doing that because of COVID, right? Is that what you mean?
No, they removed it before COVID.
Oh, well,
that's cool. And it kind of talks about it again in this article, that they know that, like, late fees, they don't make as much money on late fees as they do on the administrative side of filing the late fees. They like lose money on it, actually. Yeah. And it just creates a culture where people are like scared to loan books and like mistakes happen and then people don't ever come back to the library. So it was like reminded me of that cool fact about the Hamilton Public Library system. But the other funny thing was I saw the article headline, Hamilton Library celebrates return of book after 27 years. I was like, oh my God, that's nuts. And then, but they have a photo of the like little stamp that had been put in the book the last time it had been taken out. And it was December 1993. And I was like, 93, that's not that long ago. And then I was like, wait a minute. I'm turning 27 and I was born in 94. That math does check out. I'm just an old woman. Damn it.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I thought that was cute. The second piece of book news is just kind of a cool marketing thing that's happening. Okay. So have you heard, wait a minute. Have you read anything by Sally Rooney?
Not yet. I have two of her books, but I haven't read
them. Yes. I've read Normal People. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. And I definitely want to read Conversations with Friends. But her new book, Beautiful World, Where Are You? Comes out on September 7th. And across the UK, 50 different bookshops are opening early. Like, I thought at first it meant like COVID has closed them and so they're coming back early. It means like they're opening early in the morning.
Ooh.
And if you go to one of these bookshops, you can go and buy a copy of it and you get like a tote bag and like some cute things. So they're it's like not a midnight premiere, but like at some of the locations they're doing like an early morning like cup of tea. It's the most British thing you've ever heard. But I just thought that was a really cute thing. It says you can get your chance to buy a copy and receive an exclusive goodie bag and merchandise. And apparently there's a bucket hat. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, I don't know Sally Rooney, but I mean, that just sounds exactly like Sally Rooney.
Yeah, a yellow bucket hat.
That's hilarious. So wait, when does the book come out?
September 7th.
Okay.
When will this episode come out?
Basically right before that, I think.
Oh yeah, you're right. It will come out September 5th. So if you're in the UK,
go hop on
you
that.
You could hop on that. If you get a bucket hat, please send it to us.
I just thought of some book news that's not really book news.
Ooh,
but
tell me.
It's kind of cool. There's a pop-up bar in Vancouver right now. I wasn't able to go to it, unfortunately, because you have to buy tickets in advance. But there's this pop-up bar where they give you a potion making class. And it's there until October 30th. So I may still go to it. I might see if I can wrangle someone into going with me. But they make like their cocktails, but they call them potions. They teach you how to make them.
Oh,
and you have to get the first one right to be able to like move on to the next challenge kind of thing.
Oh, that's so cute.
So it's like a class. It's like actual magic school. And I just like, I want to go to it so badly.
That's
so
amazing.
I just wanted to give the people that announcement.
Yes.
If you're in the Vancouver area and you like magic, you should probably check this out.
Yeah.
And it's like $40 per person for this whole experience and you get three drinks out of it.
Oh, okay. So like, I was going to say.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I had two more pieces of book news. And they were something that I texted you about actually a little while ago. There's these two new book sets that have been released that are so, so beautiful.
They're so good.
I will link to these in the show notes because you guys need to check them out. But the first one is called Green Ideas. And this is really exciting for a few reasons. Number one, because they're absolutely beautiful. They are so, so stunning. It says the covers are by Tom Etherington. It's a new Penguin classic series, like I said, called Green Ideas. And it's all about environmentalism, climate change, nature, stuff like that. So some of the names that popped out at me are Greta Thunberg. I think it's her speech. They're all little books. They're all very short. They all look like they're like 80 page kind of things. Wendell Berry, there's one of his there. Amongst so many others, like that's two out of the, I forget how many there are. It looked like there was like 25 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But they're from, here it is. Zoom in. If I zoom in, I can see. There's 20 of them. it's kind of devastating that they made them so beautiful, because like they are on in a beautiful gradient that makes you want to have all of them. You're sort
of
like,
yeah, they make a nice rainbow, right?
Yeah, it make a perfect rainbow. You're like, I shouldn't just buy one of these, right? I should buy all of them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, they look so beautiful, and it seems like authors from all over, they're not obviously just British authors, because Wendell Berry's American and Greta Thunberg is, where is she from? She's
Germany?
Norway? Sweden? I think you're right. I think it's Sweden. That seems like something I should know. Let's look it up. We'll all learn together. I typed in Greta Thunberg and it said Swedish activist. There we go.
There you go.
Swedish. Beautiful. So that looks amazing. We can all agree. And then the second one. Oh my God. This one I think made you more excited than the Green Ideas one.
Yeah, definitely.
Fourth Estate is a publishing or an imprint. They came out with some new modern classics. And this is really cool because, you know, I hadn't thought about it this way before, but there's so many different modern classics line, like the Penguin, yeah. Modern Classics, English Library, whatever. A lot of the books that are in quote unquote modern classics don't feel modern.
Yeah, it's like they have to be at least 25, 30 years old. Like some books on this list came out within the past 10 years.
Exactly. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. Right? Because if you want to call them, if you want to be bold, you can just say that they're...
Just make it a classic.
Make it a classic now. But so I would agree. I think I agree with all of them. Some of the books I actually hadn't heard of. But these are so stunning. Like, the design on these books is insane. The covers were designed by Deputy Art Director Joe Thompson. So the books include Year of Wonders by Geraldine Brooks, which people might remember I hauled 2 years ago. It's a pandemic book. Other Minds, that's one I haven't heard of. Have you heard of that one? It's beautiful, but I haven't heard of it.
I hadn't heard of it before, but I added it to my read list. Yeah, no for kidding. Sure.
Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. Wild Swans by Jung Chang, which is a book Connor's been trying to get me to read for a long time. All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr. The Virgin Suicides by Jeffrey Eugenides. The Year of Magical Thinking by Joan Didion, and No Logo by Naomi Klein. So gosh, they're beautiful. People, you gotta look these up, and Raylene and me have to buy them all.
Yes, so definitely. I love them so much.
So that was today's book news. Actually, some good interesting stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got in book olds?
Okay, so for book olds, I have another book that I believe was recommended to me because of my wish to read more Australian books. Oh. But this book just sounds too cool not to give a shout out. So this book is called Picnic at Hanging Rock by Joan Lindsay. Have you heard of this one? It came out in 1967.
No.
So it's actually a genuine book old. It's like a classic.
I love when it's like a book that's like 2 years old, and you're like, that's sort of old. And I'm like, well, we can old go enough. With it.
The way I see it, as long as it's not a new release, it counts.
I see. Okay.
That's kind of the way I framed it, because I want to shout out books that we may have just missed. They may have slipped through the cracks,
that.
You know?
I like that.
So yeah, Picnic at Hanging Rock. This is the synopsis off of Goodreads. It was a cloudless summer day in the year 1900. Everyone at Appleyard College for Young Ladies agreed it was just right for a picnic at Hanging Rock. After lunch, a group of three of the girls climbed into the blaze of the afternoon sun, pressing on through the scrub into the shadows of Hanging Rock, further higher till at last they disappeared. They never returned. Whether Picnic at Hanging Rock is fact or fiction, the reader must decide for themselves. Ooh, that's spooky.
That is spooky.
So it's kind of like a gothic Australian mystery horror type of situation. I'm like, what exactly is going on here? It's also only 189 pages.
Ooh.
So it's short. It's snappy. It comes in beautiful Penguin editions. So I may need to track one of those down. But yeah, it just sounds so cool. I'm like, ooh, I love a mystery. I love a college for young ladies. Those things are all totally up my alley. And it takes place in Australia. So I thought it sounded really cool.
It does sound really cool. That's a good book old. Yeah. That's a book good. Sorry, everyone.
I'm just devolving. I don't even know how to speak English anymore.
Speaking in double speak. Ruh-roh. All right. You know what, Raylene? We nailed it. Wait a minute. hold on a second.
Is there more?
Well, I was about to say it's time to end this episode, but you have to pick what book I'm going to read, and I know you haven't thought about it.
Actually, I came to a decision like 20 minutes ago, and I just decided to go with it. Okay. I'm just going to go with my gut feeling. I want you to read.
Oh my god!
Drumroll, please.
I'm a little nervous.
I want you to read "People from My Neighborhood" by Kawakami.
Oh, that's a nice choice. I'm glad you chose okay,
there's
that.
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons for this. Yeah. One of the reasons is because I bought it for you last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want you to read it. Another reason is it's very short.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Another reason is I really want to know what you think of it because I want to buy it.
That's fair. That is fair.
Yep. Yeah, so there's a lot of things, and I feel like it shouldn't stress you out too much to read this. So I hope that you'll have a good time reading this after Anne. And if you decide to read the second Anne book right after this, then that's fine. It's just like a little palate cleanser.
I love it. I love it. Wow, this worked out well for me. That was fun. That was a fun little side adventure. I'm sure that I can imagine listeners of the pod being like, wait a minute, are they about to end the episode without finishing that mission? No.
Such a cliffhanger.
That would be so unsatisfying. All right. Well, like we said, our next episode, episode 100, we will be together. We've got some really fun stuff planned out. So we're really looking forward to sharing that with you guys. Okay. It is now time for us to go and record Books on Bucket, our mini podcast for our patrons. If you like the podcast, if you love the pod, if you join us every week, maybe consider hanging out with us over there on our Patreon, patreon.com/booksunbound. This week we're answering a really cool question from Lottie. She asks, I don't know if this is more of a recommendation request. I don't think it is. Ooh. Or a Books on Bucket, but here goes. When I read books like On Writing or watch shows like Maria Kondo, I'm always really motivated to write or declutter or do whatever the book is about. But that mojo typically only lasts for as long as I'm reading the book, tops maybe for a week after that. I've never read any book, neither fiction or nonfiction, that truly changed my habits or had any noticeable lasting impact on my life in that way. And she says, like, obviously every book changes your mind, but I'm talking about something like a little more practical.
Yeah, I see.
Have you ever been influenced really deeply by a book in that way? For example, when Ariel got into fountain pens after reading Albatross, has she now been converted into fountain pen user for good? Or has she gone back to using whatever pens she was using before?
Well, that's an interesting question. I can't wait to hear the answer to that.
I know, that'll be fun. So thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast, for hanging out with us. We hope that you have a lovely week, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.